The topic of my speech is mass communications of independent Ukraine in the context of development of normative theories and as an evidence of modernization theory. At the last conference, which took place in Kyiv, I tried to discuss the history of movement for establishing public broadcasting in Ukraine. Today, my intention is to describe day-to-day realities of mass communications in Ukraine and the circumstances under which we want to implement this ambitious project. Investigation into charge of mass communication in post-Soviet, post-totalitarian and post-colonial Ukraine provoked special interest aimed at developing of adequate understanding of the modern global world's dynamics. On the one hand, practical importance of this investigation considerably differs from mass communication studies in emerging states of Africa, Asia and Latin America too. From there, we got more than sufficient proof of the total failure of the modernization theory as a part of the strategy of Western cultural, economic and media imperialism. On the other hand, we need to separate Ukrainian media studies from Russian or post-Soviet investigations which disappoint researchers, media experts, politicians and journalists and make them to reconsider existing normative theories started by the well-known work by Zibert, Peterson and Schramm, Four Theories of the Press. It was published in 1956. For changes in Ukrainian media sphere, which are in progress since the end of 1980s, an umbrella term exists – media reforms. Unlike reforms in other fields, such as economics, science, education and public health, they seem to be more systematic and consistent. The term of media reforms was implemented by the Media Reform Center under the School of Journalism of the National University of Kyiv-Mohyla Academy since 2002. The Media Reform Center was the first that started a theoretical generalization of the processes in Ukrainian mass communications and after the Orange Revolution, the first systematic research in Ukrainian media reforms under the title "Are the changes in Ukraine's mass media induced by the Orange Revolution really irreversible?" was pursued here. In 2004, the journalist revolution was a part and the main achievement of the Orange Revolution. Ukrainian media reforms allow taking a fresh look at the logic of the development of the whole post-Soviet area. First, we will discuss Ukrainian mass communications in the context of distinct aspects of the critical theory and the modernization theory. After that, we shall move to the necessity of development and adjustment of the normative theory, taking into account the specifics of development in the post-Soviet area states. Finally, we will put the Ukrainian realities in the context of global regularities of development of mass media and national media systems. Assuming the main theories of mass communications in the emerging states, Sinha and Stapitonanda discuss three development paradigms: dominant, dependency and alternative. The first one reflects the classical idea of modernization or westernization, according to which these countries need to join the world dominant trend of the economical development. Media here get a role of an agent of social changes. The dependency paradigm is an antithesis to the modernization perspective and considers it as neo-colonialism. It is based on the traditions of the Frankfurt School and encourages the countries resisting to the more developed aggressors to close the ranks. The alternative paradigm is also appeals an antithesis to the dominant paradigm, but demonstrating another pluralistic prospect. It emphasizes that every region, society or social group must find its own way of evolution. First of all, such ideological missions are being actualized as asserting of civil rights and peace fight. Ecological and feministic movements in industrial countries, liberal and national movements in communist and emerging states. The demands to mass communications are diversity, deinstitutionalization and locality. Needless to remind that all the three paradigms in some measure complement each other, and at the same time utopianism is their common disadvantage, as long as, according to Sinha and Stapitonanda, There is no established definition for the term of development, and proper allowance for human and cultural factors was not made. So there is no standard model acceptable for everyone. Particularly, a globalization phenomenon should be taken into account. Let's notice that the mention of human and cultural factors not only does affirm, but from the other side confirm the modernization theory. Since we can suppose that there are post-colonial countries for which modernization or westernization would be advantageous, in this context it's worth to pay attention to current notice. I quote, "Nations have different languages, political systems, power structures, cultural traditions, economies, international links and histories. These find continuing expressions in the media of different nation states." End quote. Regardless of the fact that in the epoch of globalization, the age of national states seems to be becoming history, we cannot claim that a universal media system is arising. Contrary, specifics of national media systems keep depending directly on needs and requirements of the societies in which that systems work. The critical theory and its variations have a long tradition of denying the modernization theory. On account of that, formulating the theory of cultural materialism, Mousseau writes that it proceeds from the assumption that social life is a reply on real-world problems of existence. I quote, "Cultural materialism highlights three layers in all social systems: the infrastructure, the structure, and the superstructure. The infrastructure is the base layer, the material conditions of human existence. How do people relate to their environment? How do humans produce and consume? The structure refers to a society's social and political institutions. What sort of familiar and non-familiar associations, organizations, and institutions are found in the society? The final layer, the superstructure, is a society's ideologies, paradigms, and values." End quote. So, the theory of cultural materialism disaffirms the modernization theory. If the modernization theory postulates that political development and globalization are results of the expansion of the Western culture and education, the theory of cultural materialism insists that the cause of the mentioned effect in infrastructure but not superstructure. Mousseau emphasizes on the principal difference between national and political culture. I quote, "If we start with the superstructure, then it is difficult to determine what aspects of the model culture a developing country should import. The shading of the birds, the wearing of the Western hat, and, as missionaries have thought, the singing of Western hymns will not change political culture." End quote. That is why a specific of political, not national culture should be considered first of all. I quote, "The market civilization of the present age originated in Western Europe by chance. It might just as easily have originated in 12th century Mali. But because it began in Europe, most everyone today confuses liberal political culture with Western indigenous culture." End quote. But these statements are not really obvious, and we can question them. For this purpose, we need to go to Ukrainian experience. As we have already mentioned, Ukraine is a post-colonial and post-totalitarian country with hundreds of years' experience of struggle for independence. Only in the 20th century, independence of Ukraine was proclaimed in the period of sanguinary battles four times. In 1917 in Kyiv, in 1939 in Khust, in 1941 in Lviv, and in 1991 in Kyiv. Let's also keep in mind tens of millions of Ukrainian victims of two world wars, Soviet terror and Holodomor, famine genocide. However, a price of independent Ukrainian state on the sandbox of Soviet Union, as well as preceding formation of new states of on the African continent, the whole world took for a great surprise, not just in youth. On the other hand, because of the European basis of Ukrainian culture, the educational level of Ukrainian citizens and their political culture, Ukraine cannot be relegated to the developing countries. I admit purely economic indexes, as long as the modernization theory appeals first of all to cultural, social and political standards. The Orange Revolution in 2004 also witnessed Eurocentrism in the development of Ukrainian mass communications. It became obvious that Ukrainians have organic needs in their freedom of speech. At the same time, journalists cannot be estimated as the most progressive and rushing to change part of the Ukrainian society. Journalist revolution was not a forerunner, but a consequence of the Orange Revolution. As long as freedom of speech was one of the main demands and needs of the Ukrainian people. I quote, "One of the most remarkable and momentous results of the Orange Revolution was the journalist revolution, when journalists of leading TV channels and print media refused en masse to carry out the recommendation of Temniki, distort information and manipulate public consciousness, practices that were extensively applied during the 2004 presidential campaign. Practically within one day, the image of the main TV channels, radio programs and print media underwent a change." The aforementioned research of the Mass Media Reform Center, Media Reform Center says, "I would like to emphasize that the progress of mass communications, including first of all the principle of the freedom of speech and the concept of public interest, depends directly on the society needs. If a nation wants to have democratic state and freedom of speech, it will have them. But if things like that do not belong to the nation's list of priorities, it is impossible to explain their benefits from outside. Or in case someone tries to do that, the discussion gets the tone of you don't know what you really need, and hence it does not make sense because of our own obstructiveness and can be criticized as a kind of imperialism. Most disappointments of Western politics and media specialists about their possibility of democratization of modern national media are connected with Russia and China. We know about the conflict of Google company and the Chinese government because of political censure. Censure in China has general support and cannot be impugned from inside. As for Russia, the freedom of speech became the main cause of freezing relations with Ukraine after the Orange Revolution. Vladimir Putin uses a special term, Ukrainization, as the most dangerous thing for his country, meaning first of all democratization and freedom of speech. He is convinced that it would inevitably cause destruction of power in Russia. Writing about the Orange Revolution, Timothy Garton S. and Timothy Snyder also noticed that it constitutes a menace to modern Russia. Menace to modern Russia. The authors mentioned a joke which was popular in Russia in the end of 2004. Leonid Kuchma, he was a previous Ukrainian president, wrote a book called Ukraine is Not Russia. Now Putin is writing a book called Russia is Not Ukraine. In response to Vladimir Putin's ludicrous statements that the West will never bring Russia to need in the sense of the modernization theory realization and implementing standards of Western democracy, a Czech journalist Putna published an article, Russia, Down on Your Knees. He writes that Russia itself must drop to knees for all the wrongs it did to different peoples in the 20th century. Russia must apologize to Ukraine for Holodomor, which took 10 million lives, to Poles for occupation and Katyn slaughter, to Lithuanians, Latvians and Estonians for mass deportations, to Hungarians for invasion in 1955, to Czech and Slovaks for intervention in 1968, to Afghans for invasion in 1980, to Chechens for the war started in 1990s. Putna also involves Russian authority to drop Tunis in front of its citizens for all the wrongs done after the Bolshevik putsch in 1917, including corruption and disrespect for person and for its disability to provide worthy and free life to Russian people. But we cannot prune we cannot prune down the situation incriminating evil intent against people to the Russian authority. It can be stated that Vladimir Putin's and Dmitry Medvedev's political success, their levels of confidence normally go beyond 60%, is directly connected to their efforts aimed at the centralization of the state governance and the curtailment of political liberties, the liberty of speech, first of all. For the large majority of Russian people, there are unfortunately more important things from state and empire greatness. Since the political course of Putin Medvedev should be considered not only as a complex of manipulations with mass consciousness of the Russian society, but also as the realization of the electorate's wish to restore the empire, no matter how it will be called, Russian or Soviet. Under such circumstances, the freedom of speech is being considered as an evil, threatening the realization of the empire myth. According to Russian chauvinistic mythology, the restoration is impossible without Ukraine, as long as Kyiv, the mother of Russian cities, is situated on the Ukrainian territory. That is why the main vector of Russian political propaganda and information aggression is directed to Ukraine. We have approached now the concluding issue, namely reconsidering of or developing the normative theories of the press. Zibert, Peterson and Schramm, in their canonical work, Four Theories of the Press, consider authoritarian, libertarian, totalitarian and social responsibility models. There are some more attempts to explore the list, taking into account the new world realities. For example, Dennis McQuail added some new models, like professional model and alternative media model. The authors of the first book mentioned that any theory of relationship of mass media communication to the organized society of which it is a part is determined by certain basic philosophical assumptions, or conclusions, if you wish, about man and the state. For our purposes, these areas of assumption can be identified as follows. Firstly, the nature of man. Secondly, the nature of society and of the state. Thirdly, the relation of man to the state. And fourthly, the basic philosophical problem, the nature of knowledge and truth. End quote. Today, the new methodologies and new models are emerging. For example, Astini and Funk pointing out idealism and overestimation of the role of political economy in the four theories of the press propose, I quote, use the model incorporating journalistic values and state systems. This new model incorporates the dimensions of individual journalistic autonomy and the structures of state policy. It thus increases understanding of press system and the societies in which these systems exist, end quote. The authors consider interaction of the authoritarian and democratic state systems with a liberal or conservative, individual, professional or collective, professionalization or collective professionalization, models of individual journalist values or practices common for a concrete state. They conclude that a media system of China can be defined as conservative authoritarian, of Japan as conservative liberal, of the USA as liberal democratic, of Hong Kong as liberal authoritarian. How then can we estimate the mass communications of modern Russia? In his research Lessons from Russia and Neo Authoritarian Media System, Baker writes, I quote, in the Putin era, the Russian state has increasingly interfered with media autonomy. So the Russian press under Putin can best be understood as a neo-authoritarian media system. Perhaps the bare example of neo-authoritarianism is in Zimbabwe. The new Russian realities indeed indicate return of the state to traditional authoritarian features. Contemporary Russia shares much with authoritarian regimes past and present, since the state remains the most important threat to the emergence of democratic media systems, end quote. We encounter an example when neither state nor society is interested in democratization of public sphere. The freedom of speech is not being considered as a value or as technological tool for improving life standards. Corruption, which belongs to the list of the main typological characteristics of developing countries and post-Soviet countries, seems to be more attractive, just because that is an administrative tool people have already got used to. The threat of corruption is on the first place in the modern world. After the Berlin Wall fell down and owing to globalization, we see approach and interpretation of practices of the Western world with its romantic set of liberal values and of the states that want to improve their social and economical standards. Mainly, that is about political elites seeking for personal enrichment. Competition for attractive markets of China, India, Russia and Brazil inevitably causes corrupting of the Western business. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. The values of public sphere also are getting more and more relative, situational and step-by-step turn into anachronism. When researching globalization, we must also remember about globalization of the corruption, because the freedom of speech does not belong to the Western tool being borrowed by post-Soviet and developing countries. Thereafter, the normative theories must cover the new realities and include to their typology not only criteria from the political economy field, but also more profound consideration of cultural priorities, which with necessity returns us to the modernization theory. However, now it is seen not as a tool of neo-colonialism, but from the position of importance of superstructure for media systems typing. And it should be typing not through consideration of the dominating ideology propagated by ruling elites, but through in-depth study of value priorities working in certain cultures. In other words, the tool of freedom cannot be given from the outside. It can work only where people have inherent need in free media. But the freedom of speech can be threatened by external factors. For all the post-Soviet area, Russia is a negative center of gravity for the development of all the civil liberties. Conceptually, it is being presented in such way. The Russian sovereign democracy defends allegedly the values of the Russian civilization. It should be noted that the sovereign democracy is consonant to strengthening authoritarianism with deviation to totalitarianism, suppression of oppositional movements and restoration de facto of the position of Tsar or president. The concept of the Russian world beyond Russia from the Kremlin ideologist's point of view corresponds to two main criteria. Presence of Russian-speaking population and natural lack of will among this population to have the freedom of speech. This concept is xenophobia-based, which can be illustrated with an article by Andreev, Russian Language as Shield and Sword. The author points at Kiev-Mohyla Academy, or KMA, as a danger to extension of the Russian civilization to include Ukraine. The danger is that teaching, I quote, teaching in the university is provided in Ukrainian and English. High-quality education in English enables to omit referring to Russian cultural funds, which draws the development of all the progressive disciplines out of the stream of post-Soviet science and shift it and shifts it to the development of contemporary intellectual trends of the West. KMA faculty members openly declare their democratic orientation, which means in Ukrainian circumstances looking up to anti-Russian political forces, end quote. By the way, the new political reality formed after Viktor Yanukovych's election win, Viktor Yanukovych is the president of Ukraine, a predetermined establishing of a journalist movement Stop the Censorship that started at KMA this year on May 21, just before our first conference in Kyiv-Mohyla Academy. The new post-political situation is difficult. On April 29, 2010, Organization on Security and Cooperation in Europe expressed its concern over the state of the freedom of speech in Ukraine in a special statement on mass media in Ukraine. Here, in particular, violence and oppression of journalists were mentioned. A Polish journalist, Eliasz, in Gazeta Wyborcza, writes about the doomsday of the freedom of speech in Ukraine, pointing out the attempts to close a number of television companies. The author makes a dismal prognosis. I quote, "The freedom of speech on the banks of Dnieper will be limited to internet, a few radio stations and newspapers. Ukraine is on the drift to Belarus and Russia with their authoritarian rules," end quote. That is why Kyrie's declaration of the Ukrainian authority about readiness to establish public broadcasting immediately are received with incredulity by the professional media sphere, all the more so taking into account that it is proposed to clarify the concept of public broadcasting first. The entire necessary conceptual and normative basis has been already developed. This work lasted since the middle of 1990s. So, we can come to the following conclusions. First, the post-colonial, post-totalitarian and post-Soviet status of Ukraine is of a special kind, and Ukraine cannot be compared to developing countries. The main typological feature of Ukraine is the principal possibility to apply the modernization theory. That accords with the statement that Ukrainian society needs freedom of speech and free press as values and tools for the public sphere development. Second, the globalization process dissolving successfully the after effects of the Cold War and the terms of the bipolar world induces a reconsideration of the existing normative concepts of the press. The new reality makes up to keep in mind not only consistent patterns of political economics and the nature of person and society, not only the structure of the state politics and common journalist practices, but also priorities and values that are common for some societies. These priorities and values are connected with elements of both political and national culture. Detailed study of them is important not only for the developing countries and countries with transition economics, but also for rich developed countries as long as globalization diffuses typical for the period of Cold War West presentment over practices of the Soviet bloc. What is proceeding now is not just proselytizing of new members of the club to the club of the Western world, meaning by that professional standards and democratic values, but a complex transfusion of cultures causing some system changes in the West towards the compliance with dominating corruption practices of the countries for those markets the Western countries compete. And there is a danger that the process will also permeate into the field of media and the freedom of speech. Third, the post-Soviet studies should be divided into studies of different countries in which societies have different needs, in democratic freedoms or authoritarianism, or under other criteria, those becoming integrated into the world community or not becoming integrated on principle. Since Russia requires a separate configuration of its trying to find a special way of development for Russian civilization and sovereign democracy. And the fact that this euphemism, one is plain aggressiveness, xenophobia and corruption, should not be ignored. The question is in what measure the situation is caused by needs of the Russian society and in what measure it is a result of manipulations of the political authority. Finally, fourth, there must be no talk of something like Russian sphere of interest in the post-Soviet area as long as that would mean the total abnegating of democracy and restoration of the Russian Empire, where the most part of population is proud of the crimes committed by terrorists and Soviet regimes instead of repeating them. Under such second sentence, Ukraine trying to develop a civilized public sphere, independent media and public broadcasting, meets a potent countering from the Russian sovereign democracy, which shows a strong dislike for freedom of speech and the free market of ideas, because they threaten its authoritarian existence. The strengthening of Ukrainian independence depends on realization of the above-mentioned ambitious projects and on consolidation of the society around the discourse of freedom. Thank you for your attention.